Turn with me to Song of Solomon, chapter 3. Song of Solomon, chapter 3. Brother Scott just said something that made me realize and think on this particular passage of Scripture. He said the eternal security that a believer knows and loves, the Christ in whom we trust, does not lead us to looseness living. I'm paraphrasing what he said. He said it a lot better than I could say it, but doesn't do it. Just doesn't do it. A believer is one who is vitally aware of his position in the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows it. He knows it. And I'm telling you, on the other hand, he is so concerned about his security and rest and peace and fellowship in Christ. It's like it's two sides of one coin. He knows his security and he's constantly seeking after him, searching after him. This scripture bears that out. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 1. By night on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city, in the streets and in the broad ways will I seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye him whom my soul loveth? It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him. I would not let him go until I'd brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor wake my love till he please. Though the world's religion speaks boldly, brazenly, may I say that, they're very, very arrogant about it. But they speak of loving and seeking. They tell men how to find God. If you'll do this, then God will do this. And they make you feel as though that, or try to, they don't a believer, but they make their congregations feel as though if you're not doing this, if you're not being blessed, and if you don't have a lot of money, and if you don't have good health, and if you don't this, that, and the other, well, the thing is, you're just out of the will of God. And you need to, get a hold. And they've always got a catchy phrase. I mean, it's always something that real, pizzazzy. Well, the Scriptures refute that. Romans 3:11 says, there's none that understandeth by nature. There's none that seeketh after God. There's not. What does it mean when the Lord, speaking through Paul the Apostle, said there's none that seeketh after, understandeth? Well, all men have a fallen and corrupt nature that they received from Adam by natural generation. Like produces like. And this nature, and by this nature, all men in Adam, all unregenerate, all natural men, all carnal mankind, refuses to seek after Almighty God, refuses to believe, hates the thought of salvation by grace, justification by the imputed righteousness of Christ. To them, that's foolishness. Foolishness. They do not love Christ. They say they do, and they don't. They don't. Lord willing, I'm going to preach this Sunday on repentance. What is it? The Lord told a group, He said, "Lest you repent, you're going to perish." And repentance, I tell you right now, has something to do with knowing Him. And when He says, "This is life eternal, they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." Man, by nature, I don't care what he says, he does not seek after God. To seek God Almighty is to, by a new nature, new heart, new mind, reborn, seek after Him. Come after Him. As I've heard Brother Scott say, as a beggar, empty-handed, nothing. And that takes life to do that. Man has to be alive to do that, to ask. A dead man doesn't ask. Approach Him. Seek after, call on Him. Any that truly seek Him, and I will tell you this, a believer does, exhibit the characteristics that are revealed in the passage that we just read. Now, this is the characteristics of a believer. Now, this is not an unbeliever talking. I can tell you that right now. This is a believer speaking right here. And I'll tell you, you that know Him, you understand some of this. What did the bride do here? Well, the Scripture reveals that she sought Him. She sought Him. The Lord said in Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added unto you." Seek out. She sought Him. She says, "By night on my bed, I sought Him. I sought Him." I looked up that word, sought. What does that mean? It means to search out in worship, to strive after, to beg, to desire, or to require. I'm not talking about seeking after church membership, seeking after religion, seeking after baptism for mere baptism's sake, to seek after wealth or health or position. I'm talking about seeking Him. Now that is something that only a believer, one made alive, can do. That he can do. She said, "I sought Him." Deuteronomy 4:29 says, "But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him, if thou seek Him with all thy heart and all thy soul." And the word heart there means understanding. Seek Him with all your understanding and all of your soul. That word soul there means life. I'm going to tell you something. There has to be some understanding and life given for a man to seek after Him. Man, by nature, will not seek God. But I'll tell you this. You that believe, you're seeking. You've come today, tonight. The reason you've come is because I want to hear. I want to hear something. I want to hear something of Him. I see something of my frailty. I need Him. And I know that God raised up a preacher. He said He did. I know that He has said, I'll give you pastors after my heart. I know that He speaks through His Word. I want to hear. I want to hear something. I sought Him. But though the world seeks Him not, some, by the marvelous working of His power in a sinner, do. They seek Him as He is revealed in His Word. They seek Him as a sovereign. Lord, I want to know You. Lord, I know You. Paul said, the same man, Paul the Apostle, that says, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day. Same man that said that, said this, oh, that I may know Him. I know Him, but I want to know Him. I want to know Him. I sought Him. Amazing words. Because the bride is said to do something here that man by nature cannot do. I sought Him. The Lord said, no man can come to Me except the Father which hath sent Me draw him. So here we see the response of a work of grace. I sought Him by night on my bed. He did something for me that I couldn't do for myself. I wouldn't do for myself. David said in Psalm 27:8, he said, when Thou saidest, seek ye My face, My heart said unto Thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. David said, when You said to me, in power, seek My face, David said, My heart said, Lord, I'll seek You. I'll come after You. Well, secondly, when did the bride seek Him? When? Well, it says in that first verse, by night, on my bed. Whenever a believer is sensitive to the apparent absence of His presence, it's night to them. All right? It's getting kind of late in the day. Give it just a little bit more time. It'll be dark outside. This is not what this is talking about right here. This is talking about in the night season. He's talking about when it's night to me, when I don't see Him. Night has the insinuation it's dark. I don't see. By night. Night is indicative of the absence of light, though I know He's there. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But when He's absent as far as I'm concerned, though He is there, my unawareness of His presence is soul aching. Now listen, I'm going to just be real honest with you. I'm not going to say that I understand the depth of this right here, but I'm going to tell you this. And I'm convinced that there's some here that knows what I'm talking about. I know somewhat of what this is talking about. I know somewhat of this by experience. I know the aching of the heart when you just are not aware of His presence. Know He's there. This is the bottom line of a believer's trial. This is the trial right here of a believer. This is the testing, the trial, the teaching. You want to see a man or woman that God Almighty has taught something of depending on Him? Let God make them aware of His apparent absence. And I'm telling you something. That person, that believer, will say this, by night on my bed I sought Him whom my soul loveth. For whatever the reason, let men say what they will. Oh, I read what those men said to Job is apparent friends, and Job, you're this and you're that, and you've done this and you've done that, for whatever the reason. And you need to be very careful, and I need to be very careful, when you find someone going through some real trials, be careful how much judgment you make on, well, I wonder what they've done. Well, I'll tell you this, if the truth would be known, what you've done. Okay? Let's be real careful. Whatever the reason, the enlightened soul is never satisfied with this outlook. Well, I don't know where he is, but, you know, the Lord's sovereign. I'm going to tell you something. It's grieving to a believer. That prodigal son said, when he came to himself, I'm going to go back. I'm going back to my father's house. And I'm going to tell him, I've sinned against heaven before you. Isaiah 26:9 says, with my soul have I desired thee in the night. David said in Psalm 77:2, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore, S-O-R-E, or that is, my hand, is the way that word is interpreted, ran in the night. What he was saying, looking, feeling after. You ever get up in the middle of the night and sleepy, trying to find your way, and, you know, you don't want to walk into a door. You want to kind of put your arm out of something. He said, by my hand in the night I cease not. My soul, he said, refused to be comforted. Someone might come to me, and I can remember a time when going through a very, very, very tough time. Somebody come up to me and say, listen, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Say, that's easy for you to say. You're not here. You're not standing where I am. Okay? I refuse to be comforted. One could give me comfort, and him I would seek. Dark seasons and trying nights are no proof of a Christless state. In fact, those who enjoy the closeness of His fellowship, those who are called to a trying work, often find this to be the case. Those that walk most closely with Him usually have the toughest trials, go through the toughest of trials in this world. Toughest. Oh, it is of His tender mercy that these night seasons come. Why? Because if we're left to ourselves, we won't seek Him. Without me, He said, you can do nothing. Thirdly, why did she seek Him? She sought Him. When did she seek Him in the night season? Why did she seek Him? Well, based on the bride's words there, it's because she loved Him. The soul that truly seeks Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. We seek Him in the hearing of His Word. We seek Him in the reading of His Word. We seek Him in prayer. You know that. We seek Him. Call Him and ask Him. Lord, I need You. Lord, I know, I'm convinced, without You, I can do nothing. Lord, You speak to me. There's times I've come and sat down at that desk right there and just sat there and sat there. And I'd say, Lord, I don't know where to go from here. I want a word from You. I'm not looking for a doctrinal discourse. You want to just hear something doctrinally? I can give you something doctrinally, you know. Lord, I want to hear from You. I want to hear something for Your people. These that You have lived for, died for, that You intercede for. Lord, they're Your people. I need to hear. I want to hear. Lord, she said, I sought Him. I asked Him. Why? Because she loved Him. In the first four verses, here's what she said. Bride said, I sought Him on my bed. I sought Him whom my soul loveth. Verse 2, I'll rise now and go in the city of the streets and the broad ways. I'll seek Him whom my soul loveth. Verse 3, last part. She said to the watchman, have you seen Him whom my soul loveth? Verse 4, just a little while, she said, I found Him whom my soul loveth. Whom my soul loveth. My soul. I thought that was unusual. Not unusual that it said it. It's just, it was unusual to me. It needed to be looked into. She said four times, whom my soul loveth. My soul. That word soul there means my appetite, those that hunger after righteousness. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. She said, my soul loves you. My soul, I hunger after you. It means life. The word soul means life. And the word soul here means my will. My will. Whom my will loves. Those that are made willing in the day of His power. God Almighty gives His people a willingness after Him. They come because they want to come. I speak not of that carnal, fleshly, lustful words of disrespect like those that pretend to love the God, the little g God of their imagination that's only concerned with this temporal world and this temporal satisfaction. Everything's just for right now, never for eternal. It's, you know. But I speak of Him who is the life of His people, their bread and hope, their Savior, their Redeemer, their King, their righteousness, their propitiation, their satisfaction. I sought Him at night on my bed. I sought Him whom my soul loves, my appetite loves, my will loves, my life. Him whom my soul loves, who is my heart longing. That's what she's saying. He's given me a heart with which to love Him, and I love Him. Only those who know Him love Him. Love Him. And we love Him because He first loved us. We love Him for who He is. Almighty God. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God. We love Him. Consider what He has done for His own. Lived for us, died for us, reigns with us, reigns for us, intercede. And how did she seek Him? She sought Him diligently. She sought Him. It wasn't enough, just hit and miss, now and then, every once in a while. I want to know Him. I want to search Him. I want to seek Him. I want to know Him. It's not enough. Just when it's convenient, I sought Him. But she said, in that first verse, I found Him not. In second verse, she said, I sought Him. Sought Him in the city, in the streets, and I found Him not. The watchmen who were in the streets, they found me. Ask Him, where is He? But then the Scripture says that eventually she did find Him. But boy, there was a time when she didn't find Him. She didn't know. Those who seek Him. And I'm telling you, this seeking, you better believe it is by God's grace. Those of you that seek Him, you know. I'm telling you, you realize right now, if He didn't give me a heart to seek Him, I wouldn't. I would not. You realize your need of Him. And they don't cease to seek Him. They don't stop. I sought Him and I found Him not. Is that good enough? No. No. The mark of a living soul, a loving soul, is a seeking soul, seeking after Christ. That soul is not satisfied with the apparent absence. I know that He is the one that withholds Himself for good purposes in His wisdom, and He creates a hunger after Him, and I think upon Him. I think, oh, He who has died for me, put away my guilt, paid my debt. He who is alive right now, I'm convinced right now, my high priest, ever living to make intercession for me, His very presence in heaven, seated in the heavenlies. Tell me about Him one more time. I want to hear Him. I'm going to seek Him one more time. If this is the last night that I ever live on this earth, may I be found seeking after Him. He said, you that seek me will find me. You seek for me with all your heart. Seek me. What seek ye? That's what He told those two of John's disciples. What do you want? What they said was, Lord, we want to know where you are. Not enough to just let it go. There's a hunger. God creates a hunger. Man gets hungry, woman gets hungry, gets up in the morning, it's breakfast time, and you're hungry. Is it enough just to say, well, I ate last night. No big deal. No, I'm hungry. I've got to eat. Psalm 119:10, David said, with my whole heart. That word whole there means new. That means healthy. Man that's whole is healthy. With a healthy heart, a heart that He's given, with my whole heart have I sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. That's what it said. If you feel your need of Him, it's because He's given you a heart after Him. And if you feel that need of Him, you'll seek Him. God has ordained the desire and the means to seek Him. They said in that second verse, bride said, I'll arise now. I will rise now and go about in the city, in the streets, and in the broad ways, and will seek Him whom my soul loveth. Now, that word city right there means guarded city. And in the streets and in the broad ways, it means in the place where God resides. It doesn't mean in the byways and just out and about and nowhere and this about. It means in the place where God has ordained. That's what it means, in the city. Go about in the city, and I'll seek Him. The bride knows where He's most likely to be found. Most likely. Now you just stop and just think for just a second. Where would you say would be most likely the place, come Wednesday night or Sunday morning, Sunday night, where would probably be the most likely place that you could go and you'd hear something concerning God's glory and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and the message of salvation by grace? Where would it be? Well, you'd say right here, this place where God has ordained. The bride was not going just out and about. Not, she was going in the place where it was most likely that she'd find Him. And as she was going, she came across the watchmen, the pastors. Verse 3, the watchmen. Those that God had set up, the watchmen that watch over the souls of God's people, that go about the city. See, they were in the city. So it's talking about the place where God has raised up these watchmen. She said, I'll go in the city, and the watchmen that go about the city found me. I said to them, saw ye Him whom my soul loveth? She was in that place where she could hear. She heard from the pastors doing what they were called to do. Preach Christ. It doesn't say that they were being inconsistent. They were in the city doing just exactly. But here's the truth of this. Whenever God reveals Himself to you, that's when you find Him. She said in verse 4, "It was but a little that I passed from them." God uses pastors. He's raised up a place. But I'm going to tell you something. Coming and sitting in this building right here where God is raised up, sitting and listening to either myself or Brother Scott or any other man that will set forth the truth of God's grace does not make you find God. He reveals Himself to you. Seek Him. She said, "I went in the city. I went about the city, the broad ways, seek Him whom my soul loveth." Verse 2, "I sought Him, but I found Him not. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, saw ye Him whom my soul loveth?" Now this is a believer speaking. "It was but a little while that," verse 4, "I passed from them, but I found Him whom my soul loveth." Was but a little. I found Him. I found Him. That's what she said. Does that not say, "But I found Him whom my soul loveth"? I want you to look at a couple of scriptures with me here. Turn with me to John 1. Let me show you a little bit about finding Him. She says, "I looked, I couldn't find Him." God had created a hunger. And I'll tell you, you that believe, this is not right here the beginning of the revelation of Christ to us. I'm talking about this is a lifelong struggle. This is going. I'm telling you, you that believe, you that have known Him, you that have been in the faith for years and years and years, say the same thing right now that brand new young believer said, I seek Him. I look for Him, search after Him. You ever had any struggles trying to find the mind and will of Almighty God? I search for Him. I look for Him. You ever come to a pastor and try to relate a problem to him and say, "You know, I got a problem right here"? And just sometimes a pastor, not even a pastor, knows exactly what to say. He's going to have to reveal Himself to you. Let me show you something about the bride said in that fourth verse, "A little while I passed from them and I found Him whom my soul loveth." John 1, verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, "Follow me." Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, "We have found Him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Now you listen to exactly what Philip said to Nathanael. "We found Him. We found Him. We found Him." Well, let's just go back now to verse 43 and just read the first part again. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find a Philip. So when Philip found Christ, why did he find Him? Because Christ found him. That's why. When the bride says, back in Song of Solomon 3:4, "Was a little while I passed from them, but I found Him whom my soul loveth." You know why she found Him? Because He found her first. You know why the bride seeks Him? Because He sought her first. You know why she says, "Whom my soul loveth"? Because He loved her first. This is the response of God Almighty's action on her first. "I found Him whom my soul loveth." I found Him. Those that find Him hold him fast. It was but a little while that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him, and I would not let him go. If you know by experience something of the sense of his absence, you know by experience the joy of his revealed presence, of his revelation. And I say the revealed presence, and I mean this, the presence in his word to my heart, that he'd speak to me through his word. I'm not talking about, I've heard people tell me, I saw Jesus in my bedroom one night. He was in a vision. I've never seen him. Never seen him with these corporal eyes. I've never seen him. But I tell you this, I've seen him here. I've seen him in my heart, in my mind. And I've seen him by faith. And you're guarded of that presence. Now, I know this. I know just... Someone says, yes, but if the Lord is pleased to remove himself, who could hold on to him? She says, I held him and I wouldn't let him go. You're mindful of your frailty and your silliness and your carelessness. And you ask him, Lord, keep me. Lord, you say as David says, Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. The presence of your the awareness of your presence. Like Jacob when he was wrestling. You think the Lord could have just removed himself from Jacob? You think he could? And the Lord told him, said, let me go. And God Almighty created a hunger in that man's heart for him. And Jacob said, I won't let you go unless you bless me. God gave him that desire. Jacob held on to him because God held on to Jacob. It was God Almighty. The bride says, I found him. I found him whom my soul loveth. He revealed himself to you. And I wouldn't let him go because he wouldn't let you go. Oh, I'm going to hold him. I won't let him go. Turn with me to Luke 24. I'm going to just bring this to Luke 24. Verse 28. They drew nigh, this is the two on the road to Emmaus, unto the village, whither they went. He made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. Why did they say that? Why did they say, why did they constrain him? Why did they say, abide with us? Because he put it in their heart. He was going to teach them something. He spoke to their heart. They responded, turn me, and I shall be turned. Lord, as I read a while ago, Lord, you say, seek my face. My heart will say, Lord, I seek your face. I wouldn't let him go. Back in Song of Solomon, she said, I wouldn't let him go until I brought him into my mother's house, into the chamber of her that conceived me. Galatians 4 shed some light on this. Till I brought him into my mother's house. Now, what in the world could the bride be talking about when she said, I brought him into my mother's house? Galatians 4. Verse 22, Galatians 4. It is written, Galatians 4:22, that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory. For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar or Hagar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem which is above is free, which is the mother of us all. Now when the bride says, back in Song of Solomon 3:4, I held him, wouldn't let him go, till I brought him into my mother's house, into the chamber of her that conceived me. She's speaking of the mother of freedom. I'll explain. There was two women, Hagar and Sarah. God had told Abraham, He said, I'm gonna give you a son. And Sarah's gonna have this son. Gonna be a son by promise. Sarah, the scripture says, was past the ways of a woman. She couldn't have children anymore. And time went on, and she told Abraham, surely this is what God meant. Surely He meant for you to take my handmaid, Hagar, and have a son by Hagar. And then that will be the way God decided to do it. And Hagar had a son by Abraham, called him Ishmael. And that boy was not the son of promise. God told him later, He said, I want you to take Isaac, your son, your only son, the son of promise. Now this allegory spoken of these two women, Hagar and Sarah. One of them was of Mount Sinai. One was the law, works of the flesh. Salvation, or the attempts of salvation by works. That's what Abraham and Sarah decided they'd do. We'll have a son by Hagar, and we'll produce life by our own flesh. What we can do, what we can produce. God said, that's not the son I talk about. And Sarah had a son by Abraham. When Sarah was past, naturally speaking, the age of the ability to have a son, had Isaac. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. Son of promise. The covenant of Sinai is spoken of by what Hagar and Abraham produced. Bondage. But Sarah, the woman to whom God told Abraham that he would have a son, was the free woman. And that by God's promise. So, back in Galatians 4:26, speaking of Jerusalem which is above, which is free and the mother of its all, it speaks of the covenant of grace that God had made with Abraham and Sarah, having a son by grace, not what you can produce, not what you can do, but what God alone can produce. Speaking of Christ, our Messiah, our Mediator, our Representative, our Sin Offering, His Kingdom, which is above. The Scripture says, and that mother of Sarah, which is the picture of the true Jerusalem, the free Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all, that's what He's talking about. The mother of freedom and grace and mercy. We're born saved by grace and not by works. So when the Scriptures, back in Song of Solomon 3, verse 4, she said, it was but a little while. I passed from, I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him, I wouldn't let him go, till I brought him into my mother's house. The mother that here speaks of grace, God's promise, God's word that will not fail, what God alone can do. Grace. Grace, grace, I wouldn't let him go. I brought him into my mother's house, into the chamber of her that conceived me. It's here, in this place, where we hear of God's marvelous grace and the benefit of a found Christ, Messiah. A believer rejoices in a found Messiah. The blessing of the congregation of believers David said in Psalm 66:16, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what He hath done for my soul." The bride, she seeks after Him. And though there's times that she will tell you, "I sought Him whom my soul loveth. I found Him not. I sought Him in the city, the place where He's raised up, in the broad streets. The watchman, ask him, 'Have you seen Him whom my soul loveth?' She said, 'It was but a little while. I passed from them, and I found Him, because He found me. And I held Him, and I wouldn't let Him go. Brought Him into my mother's house, in the chambers of her that conceived me.'" May the Lord add His blessings unto His word. Okay, Pat.